It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello, hello, welcome one and all. This is News to Me, and it is April 5th, 2021, and it's 1900 UTC. I have successfully, after a late night session, updated or redone my computer and set it up to go ahead and boot into Manjaro. And I've got Audacity set up. My keys aren't set up yet, though, so fingers crossed I'm able to upload this in time. I think I will. I've got a password, if it's in my password manager. Anywho, it's going to just make for some interesting show today, fingers crossed. But yeah, so we've got to start the show the way we always do. And that's going to be with
world news.
That's right, the world news. All right. Our first story comes to us from, or we're going to start in Africa, so we'll go through some African stories real quick. First up, Mozambique. We talked about this a few times. A lot of trouble going on there. Well, the town in northern Mozambique that the Islamic State-linked insurgents attacked last month is now secure after the military killed a significant number of militants and cleared one final area, a spokesman for the army and a provincial official have said. We've completed the clearing of the town. It was the only sensitive area that we needed to clear. It's completely safe, Army spokesman Chongo Vidigal said in comments broadcast by state TV channel TVM, that's Tango Victor Mike, late on Sunday. Armindo Nagunga, Secretary of State for the Cabo Delgado province, told Reuters on Monday that the town of Palma was under control of the state. So, very exciting times there. It's something. I think it's pretty cool. So, way to go. There. Jump over here now. Ghanaian authorities investigate after 60 dead dolphins disappear. Oh, sorry. Let's mute that. I recently learned about WebSDR, and so I've been keeping an eye out on a lot of different radio frequencies. If you like radio but haven't quite bit the bullet and said, I'm going to buy a wideband radio or buy any ham equipment or anything, this has been a fun diversion. It's a WebSDR, I think, .com. Let me look it real quick at the website. Is it .org or .com? No, definitely not .com. WebSDR. Let's find it. Yeah, WebSDR.org. That's W-E-B, or Whiskey Echo Bravo, Sierra Delta Romeo, .org. Anyway, sorry for that aside. I forgot to mute it, and it made a bunch of noise, and I'd rather talk about it than cut it out. Anyway, it's fun. It's neat because you can listen to all sorts of cool stuff. All right, so Ghana. This is a sad one. Ghanaian authorities investigate after 60 dead dolphins appear. The authorities in Ghana are trying to find out what caused more than 60 dolphins to wash up on several beaches. Local fishermen say the phenomenon is extremely rare. Officials are warning against eating the dolphins and various other fish species that have also washed up, as it's not yet clear what caused their death. Ghana's Fisheries Commission says samples have been taken from laboratory analysis. Dozens of dolphins went missing from Axum Beach in the west of the country. It is suspected they were taken away by people who intended to sell their meat. Initial observation showed no wound, lesion on their bodies. The color of the sea and temperature are normal, the executive director of the Fisheries Commission, Michael Arthur Dadzi, is quoted by AFP News Agency as saying. Investigations have taken place over the last year after similar mass dolphin deaths along other parts of the African coast. In February, In February, 111 dolphins were found dead off the coast of Mozambique. I thought originally they were trying to say February 111th, and I was like, what is happening? There's no comma. The dolphins may have got caught at low tide after Cyclone Gwambe. A preliminary investigation by Mozambique Agricultural Ministry suggests. Last year, 52 dead dolphins were found on the coast of the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius. This is where we had that oil spill earlier in the year, I think it was, or last year. Yeah, so this is very sad indeed. dolphins are smart critters, and it's sad that they're dying. There's mass dying. Okay, well, let's go over here and keep it flowing. Keep the news flowing. DR Congo hosts last chance talks over Ethiopia's contested Nile Dam. Yep, foreign ministries. Sorry, I had to make a flow joke. Foreign ministries from Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan held talks in Kinshasa on Sunday over Addis Ababa's contested giant dam on the Nile, seen as vital by Ethiopia and a threat by downstream Egypt and Sudan. These negotiations represent the last chance that the three countries must seize to reach an accord, Egypt's foreign minister Sameh Shoukry told Egyptian media. He said the accord should allow the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, GERD, GERD, to be filled in time to begin operations in the coming months before the next rains. The dispute over the GERD, built across the Blue Nile, has been simmering for around a decade. Democratic Republic of Congo President Felix Tshisekedi, who became chairman of the African Union in February, urged the foreign ministers as he opened the talks to launch a new dynamic. I ask you all to take a fresh start, to open one of several windows of hope, to seize every opportunity, he said. He welcomed the willingness of the participants to seek African solutions for African problems together. Egypt and Sudan this month called on Kinshasa to steer efforts to relaunch negotiations on the contested dam. For Tshisekedi, the human dimension must be at heart of these tripartite negotiations. The people of all three countries have a right to water, food, and health, he stressed. The U.S. ambassador to DR Congo, Mike Hammer, attended the start of the talks, which were set to wrap up on Monday. We'll see what happens here. Upstream Ethiopia says hydroelectric power produced by the GERD will be vital to meet the energy needs of its 110 million people. Egypt, which depends on the Nile for about 97% of its irrigation and drinking water, sees the dam as an existential threat. Sudan, also downstream, fears its own dams will be compromised if Ethiopia proceeds with filling the GERD before a deal is reached. Last Tuesday, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi stressed his country's concerns, warning nobody will be permitted to take a single drop of Egypt's water, otherwise the region will fall into unimaginable instability. This is very interesting. The Nile is one of those big shared resources that I hadn't even thought about in a long time. So, pretty neat. And it flows north, which kind of makes for an interesting geography trick in your head when you're thinking about it or trying to picture where all the countries are. So that was our African news. I want to take a second to thank you for listening. This is Anon Radio. It's powered by SDF, a public Unix access system. You can go to sdf.org to get an account, get a free shell account. And then you can join in on Calm, which is the chat program, if you'd like, during the live show or during the broadcast. Also, if you are listening today, stick around at 1930 UTC or every single day, even if you're listening to this in the distant future or somehow in the past. At 1930 UTC, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobel spring into action. So please stick around for that. And if you jump in on Calm, you can even participate in some of the dubiousness, I guess would be the way to put it. Okie doke. So let's go ahead here and cover some more world news. Myanmar protesters clap to denounce junta as region focuses on crisis. Protesters in Myanmar clapped together in a show of dissent against the military junta on Monday as a regional bloc prepared for talks on the crisis that has killed nearly 600 people. Clapping began in various parts of the main city of Yangon at 5 p.m. local time, or 10:30 GMT, in response to a call by protest organizers. The gesture would honor ethnic armed organizations and Gen Z defense youth for Myanmar, including Yangon, who are fighting in the revolution on behalf of us. I, Thinzar Muang, a protest leader, wrote on Facebook. Despite the killing of at least 564 people by security forces since February 1st coup, protesters have come out across the country every day to voice opposition to the overthrow of the elected government. So, it's pretty exciting. I was glad to hear finally that Myanmar was making the news on the radio and on TV locally here. So I hope that means that it's growing in visibility and we can get some of that back or get them, help them get their democratic government back, and then once that's back, then we can work on their wide destruction of the indigenous peoples that the military was involved in. I think we talked about that. I think they're called the Karen people. They were being hunted down by the military before the coup even. So let's lighten the mood up a little bit. Even though this is still kind of sad, but it's definitely more titillating. A group has been arrested in Dubai, accused of public debauchery after an outdoor nude photo shoot. Video footage posted online Saturday shows a group of naked women having their photo taken on a balcony. 11 Ukrainian women are among those detained, the Ukrainian consulate told the BBC. A Russian was also detained, according to Russian media. Public debauchery carries a sentence of up to 6 months in prison and 5,000 dirham fine, which is 981 pounds. Many of the UAE's laws, United Arab Emirates, laws are based on Sharia law, and people have been jailed in the past for public displays of affection and homosexual relationships. Roughly a dozen women were pictured on the balcony in the Marina district of Dubai. The Ukrainian consulate says it will visit the women on Tuesday. Earlier reports in Russian media that 8 Russian women were arrested have since been denied, but RIA, or RIA news agency, quoted officials as saying that a Russian who organized the shoot has been arrested. He faces up to 18 months in prison, the agency says. Police in Dubai warned that anyone publishing pornographic material or any material that may prejudice public morals faces imprisonment and a fine. Such unacceptable behaviors do not reflect the values and ethics of Emirati society, a police statement said. Any person who lives in or visits the UAE is subject to its laws. There are no exceptions for tourists. There have been a few high-profile cases of tourists getting arrested while on holiday in Dubai, and they go on to kind of enumerate some of those. But yeah, pretty scary. It's like, I'm surprised that police were involved. It was kind of surprised me that, one, you would be able to see nude people on a balcony of a hotel or something. And then two, that you would think, oh, I've got to report this to the police. But yeah, so hopefully the Ukrainian diplomatic process helps them get out of there. Well, let's talk about Russia real quick. Vladimir Putin has signed a law enabling him to stay in power until 2036. President Vladimir Putin on Monday gave final approval to legislation allowing him to hold office for 2 additional 6-year terms, giving him the possibility to stay in power until 2036. The 68-year-old Russian leader, who's already been in power for more than 2 decades, signed off on the bill Monday, according to a copy posted on the government's legal information portal. Putin proposed the change last year as part of constitutional reforms that Russians overwhelmingly backed in a vote in July. Lawmakers approved the new bill last month. The legislation will allow Putin to run in presidential elections again after his current and second consecutive term expires in 2024. Putin was first elected in 2000 and served 2 consecutive 4-year terms. His ally, Dmitry Medvedev, took his place in 2008, which critics saw as a way around Russia's limit on 2 consecutive terms for presidents. While in office, Medvedev signed off on legislation extending terms to 6 years, starting with the next president. Putin then returned to the Kremlin in 2012 and won re-election in 2018. Kremlin opponents have criticized the legislation, allowing him to run for 2 more terms, calling it a
pretext. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right, buddy. It's always an adventure to figure out where the noise man will be to let me know. Hey, don't forget, play a song. Anyway, so yeah, Putin's possibly going to be in power. Shoot, 36, that's 15 years from now. So if he's 68, that's he'll be like 83. That'd be a surprise. Can you imagine shirtless Putin on a horse at like 80 years old? That'd be so weird and gross. I don't know. I think it would be pretty anyway, it would just be weird, I think. All right. So, yeah, so that's happening. So this happened last week, and I don't think we got time. We had ran out of time to get to it. But I wanted to mention that at least 50 people have been killed and dozens more injured after a train carrying nearly 500 people crashed and derailed in a tunnel in Taiwan. The 8-carriage train reportedly hit a construction vehicle that had slipped onto the tracks at the tunnel's mouth. Rescuers combed badly damaged carriages inside the tunnel to find survivors, some of whom smashed windows to flee. The train from the capital Taipei to Taitung was carrying people traveling for a long weekend annual holiday. Many people may have been standing because the train was so full. The 408 train is one of the fastest deployed on a network that is generally considered safe. It can reach speeds of 130 kilometers an hour, which is about 80 miles an hour. Friday's crash is Taiwan's worst rail disaster in decades. President Tsai Ing-wen has sent her condolences to the families of the victims and ordered an investigation. So that's just a heads up in case you missed it or didn't see that over the weekend. I did finally get my Blaze Foley CD in the mail and a record. So I was able to rip the record or rip the CD. And so I've got Clay Pigeons coming up. That's like my favorite song of his, and it's the favorite one on that record. But this week I'll probably play various songs from that, especially because they're all pretty short. They all fit within kind of the 2-3 minute window I want for songs. So I guess we got a couple of a minute or so. So I just want to mention floods and landslides in Indonesia and East Timor kill more than 100. At least 113 people have died after flash floods and landslides hit Indonesia and East Timor on Sunday. The torrential rain sparked widespread destruction in the Southeast Asian neighbors, with water from overflowing dams submerging thousands of homes. The affected areas stretch from Flores Island in eastern Indonesia to East Timor. In Indonesia alone, 86 people have died, with dozens still missing. The mud and the extreme weather have become a serious challenge, and the debris piling up has hampered search and rescue. So, really hope the search and rescue efforts can save these people. But, it's really sad. All right, well, let's go ahead here and get the music going. It's an on radio, and this is Billy's Folly.
I'm going down to Greyhound Station, gonna get a ticket to ride, find a big fat lady with two kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about 2 or 3 times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say, oh, sing a song with a friend. Change the shape that I'm in. And get back in the game, start playing again. I'd like to stay, but I might have to go to start over again. Might go back down to Texas, might go to somewhere I've never been. Get up in the morning, go out at night, and I won't have to go home. Get used to being alone, change the words of the song, and start singing. I already know I could build me a castle of memories just to have somewhere to go. Count the days and the nights that it takes to get back in the saddle again. Feed the pigeons some clay, turn the night into day, and start talking again when I know what to say. I'm going down to the Greyhound Station, gonna get a ticket to ride, find a big fat lady with 2 or 3 kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about 2 or 3 times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say, oh, feed the pigeons some clay. Night into day, start talking again when I know what to say.
Heck yeah, I really like that song. All right, let's go ahead and we've got a few more world news stories, but we'll come back to those at the end if we have time. We'll try. So let's do some tech and kind of other interesting technology kind of stories real quick. Huge chunk of SpaceX rocket falls on Washington farm. From news to a piece of debris from a SpaceX launch fell on a farm in Washington state, leaving a nearly 4-inch dent in the ground. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said last week that SpaceX has recovered a composite overwrapped pressure vessel from Falcon 9 re-entry, which was found on private property in southwest Grant County. It said the object possibly belongs to the second stage of the Falcon 9 rocket that launched from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida on March 4th. County Sheriff's spokesman Kyle Foreman said his understanding is that the approximate 5-foot vessel is used for storing helium. He confirmed that no one was hurt, according to the Associated Press. A farmer suspected the debris may have been from the launch and contacted the sheriff's office. Mr. Foreman said SpaceX confirmed it was part of the rocket and has retrieved it. On March 25th, mysterious bright lights were seen lighting up the sky in Washington and Oregon. While they were initially mistaken for a meteor shower, the National Weather Service in Seattle said its unofficial information was that the bright objects were debris from a Falcon 9 rocket second stage that did not successfully have a deorbit burn. So Jonathan McDowell, an astronomer with the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, said that what people saw on March 25th was part of a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket that launched in early March. Yeah, we kind of covered that. And wow, I gotta say, I just installed Firefox without installing all my other plugins yet, and these news sites have ads everywhere. It blows my mind. I'm like, holy cow, how did I read any of these stories without an ad blocker before? Okie doke. Sometimes you gotta log in. If you donate to the GNOME Project, or if you just sign up, you can subscribe to LWN, that's LimaWhiskeyNovember.net. It's a Linux news site. And I wanted to bring something super nerdy that I thought was fun. It's not super long. A recent proposal from David Hildebrand to remove support for the dev kmin special file has not sparked a lot of discussion. Perhaps that's because today's youngsters lacking an understanding of history may be wondering what that file is in the first place. Thus, be unclear on why it may matter. Chances are that dev kmin will not be missed, but in passing, it takes away a venerable part of the Unix kernel interface. Dev kmin provides access to the kernel's address space. It can be read from or written to like an ordinary file or mapped into a process's address space. Needless to say, there are some mild security implications arising from providing that sort of access. Even read access to the file is generally enough to expose credentials and allow an attacker to take over a system. As a result, protections on dev kmin have always tended to be more restrictive, but it remains the sort of open backdoor into the kernel that makes anybody who worries about security worry more. It's rare that a system enables dev kmin now. As of the 2.6.26 kernel released in July of 2008, the kernel only implemented this file if the config dev kmin configuration option was enabled. One will have to look long and hard for a distributor that enables this option in 2021. So one may well wonder why a dangerous interface existed in the first place. Well, the kernel goes out of its way to hide its memory from the rest of the system. Creating a special file to circumvent that seems backwards, a step in the wrong direction. The answer, in short, is that once there was no other way to get many types of information out of the kernel. An example, consider the load average numbers printed with top or uptime. They indicate the average length of the CPU run queues over periods of 1, 5, and 15 minutes. In the distant past, when computers were scarce and it was common to run many tasks in the same machine, or, say, like on a shared public access Unix system, jobs that were not time critical would often consult the load average and defer their work if it was too high. It was the sort of courtesy that was much appreciated by other users of the machine. So, rooting through the kernel's memory information for information about the system has a number of problems beyond the need to implement dev kmin. Changes to the kernel could break user space in surprising ways. Multiple reads were often needed to get a complete picture, but that picture could change while the reads were taking place, leading to more surprises. The move away from dev kmin and towards well-defined kernel interfaces such as /proc, sysfs, and various system calls has cleaned the situation up and made it possible to disable kmin. Now it seems that dev kmin will go away entirely. Linus Torvalds said that he would happily do this for the next merge window, but he wanted confirmation that distributors are indeed not enabling it now. There have been a few responses for specific distributions, but nobody has said that DevKMim is still in use anywhere. If there are users of this interface out there, they will want to make their existence known in the near future. Failing that, this backdoor into kernel memory will soon be removed entirely. But then your editor once predicted that it would be removed from 2.6.14, so who knows? And that was from LWN. I thought that was a really cool bit of nerdy news, and I thought it kind of fit in since we're on a shared system. Here are a few other headlines. It's where you've got just about 4 minutes to go. And also, stick around. Duty Skulls Committee with Topes coming up soon. So stay. Definitely don't bail if the nerd talk scared you away. There's been big news up in the Supreme Court. High Court sides with Google in copyright fight with Oracle. Yep, the Supreme Court sided Monday with Google in an $8 billion copyright dispute with Oracle over the internet company's creation of the Android operating system. To create Android, which was released in 2007, Google wrote millions of lines of new computer code, but it also used 11,330 lines of code and an organization that's part of Oracle's Java platform. Google had argued that what it did is long-settled common practice in the industry, a practice that's been good for technical progress. And it said there's no copyright protection for the purely functional, non-creative computer code it used, something that couldn't be written another way. But Austin, Texas-based Oracle said Google committed an egregious act of plagiarism and sued. The justices ruled 6-2 for Google Inc., based in Mountain View. Justice Stephen Breimer wrote that in reviewing lower court's decision, the justices assumed, for argument's sake, that the material was copyrightable. But we hold that the copying here at issue nonetheless constituted a fair use. Hence, Google's copying did not violate the copyright law. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote in dissent, noted sexual predator Clarence Thomas, wrote in a dissent joined by Justice Samuel Alito, that he believed Oracle's code at issue here is copyrightable, and Google's use of that copyright code was anything but fair. Only 8 justices heard the case because it was argued in October after the deaths of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but before Justice Amy Coney Barrett joined the court. I guess maybe he's not a predator, but Clarence Thomas is not a good person. During his confirmation, a lot of stuff came out that's always sat really badly with me. You can look him up or Google him if you want. I think her name was Anita Hill. Let me check. Let's go to Wikipedia. Yep. Through his confirmation hearings, there was accusations he sexually harassed Anita Hill, a subordinate at the Department of Education. I've always held a negative view of him after that. All right, what else is going on? We don't got a lot of time, Marcus. Spit it out. Well, first up, The Guardian has an article called Black Americans Flock to Gun Stores and Clubs. I Need to Protect Myself. Americans bought a record number of firearms last year. Gun ownership among Black Americans is up 58.2%. Don't have time to go into it, but that's at The Guardian. It's a good little article to read. And the U.S. closes a secretive Camp 7 at Guantanamo Bay. Once classified, Camp 7 housed suspects connected to crimes including the 9/11 attacks. From 2001, so 20 years ago, when Barack Obama was elected, he said he was going to close these camps. So that's how long we've been kind of just using these to abuse people. Or hide the extrajudicial punishment of people. Camp 7 was one of Guantanamo's most secret sites, housing high-value suspects and other former CIA prisoners. I think that's all the time we got. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back on Tuesday. Stick around for the Newbie Skulls Committee. It's a fun show. It's so good.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.